specifics as we work our way through this morning. I'm so glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This has been our jumping off point now for several months, and I think we'll continue to be so in the future. Amen. As we move forward, we're going to develop this. My ultimate goal this morning is to share nine truths for growth. And I know that's like a long list of nine, but we won't spend 10 minutes on each one, I promise. But I want you to see some things, because what we're learning is that growth is important. And a lot of the things that we're trying to resolve in our lives require growth to resolve. We're trying to accomplish things as those who may be like spiritual infants or babies, right? Children that can only really be handled by adults. And so we grow up into things, and we also grow out of things. I'll say that again. We grow up into things, and we also grow out of things. Think of some of the childish things that you have grown out of. Amen. And that's important. We need to grow out of those things. I know me and my brother, as y'all have probably noticed, we're not the smallest human beings God ever created. Amen. And my mom and dad will tell you, but we hit a streak when we were younger. It was hard to keep us in clothes that weren't in the floods. I mean, we were just growing out of them faster than they could buy new ones, you know. But we also grow out of pacifiers and diapers and, are you following what I'm saying? Things that are associated with infancy and childhood. And so growth. So we grow out of and we grow up into. The Bible says ultimately as born again believers, we're growing up into Jesus in all things. That we've put on Christ, but now that we're in Christ, we're growing up into Him. Amen. And that's different from the way the world does things. The world says, you know, once you reach a certain age, you know, get a little more experience and we'll give you the keys to the car. Well, you know, obviously there's wisdom there. But in Christ Jesus, He gives you the keys to the kingdom the day you're born again. He doesn't say, well, look, when you get a little more mature, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. No, He gives you the keys to the kingdom when you're born again. But now we got to grow up into, okay, we've got the keys. What do we do with them? How do we use them? Not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. And so 1 Corinthians 13, it's the growing up passage. Amen. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. In the course of our teaching, I've wanted you to consider spoke as a child as to mean responding as a child. So when we talk about our words and what we say, we're talking about how we respond to things. Amen or oh me. That's critical right there. Every tactic, every strategy the devil uses against us is meant to manipulate us into a wrong response. Temptation, what is he trying to do? He's trying to get you to respond by giving into your flesh and committing a sin. Or saying something you shouldn't say. Or doing something you shouldn't do. Or thinking something you shouldn't think. Amen. So we see then that our words, to be more practically understood, would be how we respond. Then he said, I understood as a child. So notice he responded like a child because he understood like a child. You can't respond like an adult if you understand like a child. These things have to be in alignment, in agreement. They're a progression, a pattern, if you will. So I've asked you to consider your understanding as the way you see things. As the way you see things. You've got knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Those three do not mean the same thing. Knowledge would just be basic information. Knowledge plus experience forges or forms over time into understanding, the way you see things, the way you see yourself, the way you see the world. Some people call this your worldview. Why is that so important? Well, the way you see things determines how you respond to things. The way you see people determines how you respond to people. And the enemy of your soul is desperately trying to corrupt and continue to corrupt your understanding. This is why the scriptures tell us, do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own way of looking at things. Why? Because our understanding has been corrupted by the world and by the world system and by experiences. So we need God's understanding. Amen. The more we understand things, the more we see things the way God sees them, the more we will respond the way we should respond. So a lot of times we try to change what we do, our response, our behavior, our actions, without trying to even address or deal with the underlying understanding that that drives that behavior, that drives that action. Are you still with me this morning? Then, and we're just going backwards. Amen. We've gone from thoughts to understanding to words. Now we're just going from words to understanding. So then he says when he was a child, he thought like a child. Well, if you think like a child, you'll never understand like an adult. If you never understand like an adult, you'll never respond like an adult. So we see how these three things go together. They work together. They produce results together in our lives. If our understanding is ever going to be any different, if it's ever going to change, we've got to have different thoughts. And so the ultimate source for right thinking is the Word of God. Amen. Amen. The Word of God, he says, is first and foremost pure. Meaning what? It's uncorrupted. It's uncontaminated. So if we'll base our thoughts and our thinking from the Word of God and then have experiences based upon what the Word of God says, acting upon the Word of God, this is what helps shift and develop our understanding, and then our actions will follow suit. Are you following me? It's not like you'll just have to, listen, bite your tongue. Don't say silly things. Don't say, I just bit my tongue. I almost said don't say stupid things. Don't say, are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to bite our tongues, like an act of our will. I'm not going to say that, all right? But let me tell you what's better than having to bite your tongue all the time. For your mouth to become a well of life. Amen. Amen. For you to see things in other people in the right way, which means you will automatically, so to speak, respond to them, not with criticism and judgment, but with blessing and kindness. So we have to have better thinking if we're going to have better understanding. Better understanding leads to better responding. Amen. Now, this particular passage identifies key areas of growth and change for us. We will either grow and change in these areas or remain stagnant and limited. Now, we've made this over and over again. I'm not sure this won't be the title of a book one day. Growth is the key to lasting change. Growth is the key to lasting change. All right. Now, breakthrough and lasting change will either happen in our thinking, understanding, and responding, or not at all. You follow what I'm saying? You can't live any differently than you think, see things, and respond to things. I know I said that so many ways, and you guys kind of shook me a few weeks ago when I said something that I thought everybody in the room surely understood by now. And I got some cray-cray answers. Amen. All right, so, you know, that just kind of reinforces to me that, number one, those of you who really knew the answer were shy about speaking it out. Amen. Or we need to maybe spend a little more time here. Amen. Okay. And I've even had some of you come up to me privately. It's like, hey, listen, I got it. Okay. This is what I thought you were asking. And so, amen. Maybe I needed to phrase the question better. But remember, how you think determines how you understand. Your understanding is how you see things. How you see things. If how you see things is corrupted, then how you respond to those things is not going to be correct. Let me just kind of give you an example. There are people who have had some really bad experiences in their life with authority. Now, you do not have to have had a bad experience with authority to rebel against authority. But there are people who've had some really bad experiences with authority. Are you following me? And it has shaped the way they view all authority. Are you understand what I'm saying here? People in authority who took advantage of you, people in authority who abused you, people in authority who should have been there for you to help you and protect you, especially when you were a child. Instead, they did just the opposite. So notice, thinking combined with experience forges an understanding. It forges within you a way of looking at things. Now, you question all authority. Do you see how the devil... Because what Romans tells us is that true and valid authority has been established by God for your benefit. Do you realize how many people, I'm talking about God's people, how many of God's people hear the word accountability and get a look on their face like they just smelled a skunk or something? Why? Why do we respond to authority? Why do we respond to accountability? It's because it's the way we see it. It's how we look at it. We see it as a negative, not a positive. We see it as somebody trying to be the boss of me, somebody trying to hold me back, somebody trying to tell me what to do. So I've got to be me. I got to live how. See, again, that's a wrong understanding of authority. See, God's been trying your whole life to get you under who and what you're supposed to be under, so He can put you over who and what you're supposed to be over. You can't be a man or a woman of authority if you're not first and foremost a man or a woman under authority. Why do we need authority? I mean, personally, why do we need it? To rule and reign over the devil. To rule, like Sister Pam was talking about, to rule and reign in life. Amen. Are you seeing this? I'm just trying to give you, I mean, we could stand here till this time next week. There's 1,000 different examples how this plays out in our lives. It was not in my notes, but the Holy Spirit inspired me to talk about authority this morning, right? So it's like, well, you know, again, that's how you look at it. Are there police officers who abuse their authority? Yes. Are there pastors who abuse their authority? Yes. Are there school teachers or parents? What? Yes, 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 and yes. But again, that doesn't make all police officers bad. Or all pastors pedophiles. Or whatever. Are you following what I'm saying here? But what the devil's trying to do a number on you and me is he's trying to corrupt the way we see, again, things. And when I mean things, people, situations, life principles. If you see something that God has put in place to help you and benefit you, but if through bad experiences you see those things as negatives instead of the positives that God intends for them to be, then how you respond to those things is going to put you at a disadvantage the rest of your life. It's going to cripple you in some way the rest of your life. How you think, how you see things, how you respond to things. So, growth. Growth, breakthrough, lasting change. It'll either happen here, it won't happen at all. Now, let's join here. Faith, hope, and love will either be integrated into our lives at the level of our thinking, understanding, and responding, or not at all. Are you seeing this? Unless and until faith, hope, and love become a part of the way we think, see things, and respond to things, they're just platitudes. They're just words on greeting cards. They're just nice things that we aspire to. Getting quiet up in here. Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about growth. This is how we grow. Can I address something? This just keeps bouncing up in my spirit. It was bouncing up in my spirit during song service. And listen, if you say this, I don't know that you say this, but I know a lot of people say this, and maybe it's not for people in this room. Maybe it's for somebody watching online. But could we lose already this expression of the best version of myself? Trying to be the best version, trying to be a better version of myself. Let me tell you something. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. The Bible says a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus when you were born again. There's not multiple versions of you. This is what he's talking about here. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. He's not talking about different versions of you. He's talking about the real you that God made you. Faith, hope, and love will either be integrated into our lives at the level of our thinking, understanding, and responding, or not at all. Well, she knows that I love her. Why do we say that? Because based upon the way I respond, it would be hard to tell. But do you ask how many people think that's like valid? That somehow that's, oh, well, why didn't you just say that? I'm sorry. Make it plain. No, that's not plain. That's convoluted. And you can say the same about faith. Are you following me? Just because we have it embroidered on things in our house and wear t-shirts and stuff that say it, that doesn't mean it's, listen, wear the shirt. I've got them myself, okay? But you can wear a shirt all day that says you believe in God. But unless and until faith integrates into your thinking, understanding, and responding, you're not living by faith. It's got to get to that level. That's why Jesus didn't just sit around and teach all day. Did he teach? Yes. Did he teach long sermons? Yes. But he also led people into a practical experience of the things that he was, that's what separated a disciple from a follower and a follower from someone who gave credit for being somebody and doing something they'd never seen anybody else do. Now, We've talked about some indicators of growth. And indicators of growth would be catching yourself responding differently and better than you have in the past. And I'm going to do a little reset. We covered these several weeks ago, but for example, maybe you've enjoyed gossip, listening and or contributing, but now you're finding that gossip makes you very uncomfortable. Just keep looking straight ahead. Amen. That's growth. That's growth. Maybe you've been known to have a short fuse and to lose your temper easily, but you have noticed greater self-control in situations that once set you off. That's growth. Maybe you've been one to lie awake at night worrying about various things in your life and family, but now you're taking troubling thoughts captive with the Word of God and falling asleep in peace. That's growth. That's growth. Growth is the key to lasting change. Now, God calls His plan for our growth discipleship. And in Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's speaking of salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those last two verses are speaking of discipleship. The cross represents our salvation. The yoke represents our discipleship. There's only room for one on the cross, but there's room for two in the yoke. The cross represents what Jesus did for you. The yoke represents what He desires to do with you. To do with you. He wants you to come alongside Him, do life together with Him, and let Him teach you, not just on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening. He wants to teach you in every situation that unfolds in your life. He wants you to include Him, and that's part of the responsibility of putting on the yoke. It's where you say, I'm going to acknowledge God in all of my ways. I'm done making decisions without consulting Him. I'm done trying to come up with some way help my family or my children without consulting him. If you haven't noticed, the world is getting further and further and further away from the way this book says marriage is supposed to work and child raising is supposed to work. Come to me and I will give you rest. Learn from me and you will find rest. Do you see the pattern there? Come, God gives everything. Everything. Deposited in your born-again spirit. Okay? Now he says, let me show you a different way to think. Come take my yoke upon you. Let's do life together. And I'll help you identify areas in your life where your thinking is off. And I'll show you right ways to think. And I'll lead you, Jesus leading us by the Holy Spirit. I'll lead you into experiences that will demonstrate and confirm my word. Brother Don talked last week about lived experience. Our understanding comes from lived experience. The problem is we've had so much lived experience outside of the Word of God. We need lived experience inside the Word of God. Amen. This is where our understanding changes how we see things. The entrance of His Word gives light. What is light? Light is the ability to see things as they truly are. Life gets a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable when you can see things as they truly are. Life is miserable. Life is as Solomon said, it's just a joke. It's a cruel joke, full of vanity. Well, that's when you can't see things as they truly are, that's what life feels like. Now, we may have to continue this let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We brought this passage up a few times already, and the last time I did it, I think I gave you six truths about spiritual growth. And because it's the manifold wisdom of God, meaning there's always more there than we see. If you took notes, then you can figure out where to add the extra additional three truths. And amen. If the Holy Spirit desires to, He can give us three more by next week. Amen. Can I give you just a practical thing? All right. And this is what I do. I'll take a passage like this. I'll memorize it or whatever, meditate on it, read it, mutter it to myself. And I'll begin to say things like this, either out loud, under my breath, or just internally in my thoughts, because still small voice inside of me, it's the Holy Spirit having a conversation with Him. Sir, I know that this verse has so much to do with our growth in the things of God and growing up into Jesus in all things. And if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know it. You would think if you memorize a verse, you'd know everything about that verse that there is to know, but my friend, that nothing can be further from the truth than that. Amen. And if you'll just get still and meditate and talk to the Lord about it, and as He begins to show you things, write those things down. Well, that's what I did a few weeks ago, and gave me six things, right? Well, I knew there was more, and so now we got nine things. Are you still with me? So some of this will be a little bit of review. Others, and some of the ones that are added are some of the most critical ones as well, okay? So it says in Hebrews 5 and 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So obviously, first pass, you see that he's talking about growth and someone who should be grown more, at least should have grew more, but has not. Okay. I'll try to work our way through at least this first one. So based upon this passage, the first truth we see about growth is that growth does not occur automatically with time. That's important. That's important. He says, for though by this time, you ought to be teachers, meaning they had been born again in church and heard enough teaching to be leading others. Are you following me? One more time. They had been born again in church and had heard enough to be teaching and leading others. But they weren't. He said they were still like babes. Are you with me? So there's ideas like, you know, just as long as I show up. Showing up is extremely important. Showing up is a huge victory because that's, are you following what I'm saying? For those of you who showed up this morning, you did a lot better than a whole lot of other folks who said they were coming but didn't. Amen. So showing up is important, but showing up alone is not enough for growth. So growth does not occur automatically with time. Now this is a new one, but we see it in this first passage. Growth requires interacting with other people. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Okay, now. Listen to me. I want to make sure you understand. Requires means requires. Can I just make it even plainer for you? Requires means you are not the exception. That's what a lot of people are like. Well, yeah, that applies to most people. Not me, man. Not me. No. It requires interacting with other people. Okay? All right? How do we know? What does the verse say? You need someone to teach you. Is that not what he said? Let's go back to the passage. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. You need someone to teach you. You know what this means? This means they can't get it by themselves. There are things in this word you can't get by yourself. Well, the Holy Spirit is my teacher, and you know, we just kind of have church in our house, and the Holy Spirit teaches. Spend time, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let Him show you things in the Word. Well, you're just saying that because you're a pastor of a church, and you want people to come to church. I'm saying it because the Bible says it. Are you following me? The Bible also says things like, you are the body of Christ and a member individually. A body don't work with certain members isolated from the rest. And listen, this is one of those things where it's because, you know, remember when you was a kid, you asked your mama, why can't we do that? Because I said so. Well, you know, he's like, well, give me a better answer than I, you know, I mean, but because I said so, right? All right. Well, again, there's better answers, more involved answers in the scriptures, but the bottom line of it is God set it up this way. Members of a body are dependent upon one another. And which means Jesus is the head of the body. And He has chosen to make Himself even dependent upon you. Paul said, can the head say to the whatever member of the body, I don't need you? Jesus can't say, well, I don't need you. He does need you. I'm so tired of people saying God doesn't need us. Yes, He does. Read the Bible. Now, again, He made it just fine without us for thousands and thousands of years. But He still had a longing for fellowship, greater fellowship, greater love, greater expression of love, greater sending forth of love, greater of love returning back to Him. And so He made us in His image and in His likeness. So growth requires interacting with other people. You need someone to teach you. Watch this now. I need someone to teach me. Does the Holy Spirit teach me? Yes. But he does a whole lot of teaching me when I listen to, are you following me? A Keith Moore, a Donald Ballard, a Kenneth Copeland, a Matt Winslet. Are you following me? Please don't stay out of church if I'm not going to be here. You ain't coming here for me. Jeff said something this morning. He said, I'm here because I knew the Lord would be here this morning. If I didn't think the Lord would be here, I wouldn't be here. He didn't say, I'm here because you're here this morning, Pastor Mark. He's here because the Lord's here. Are you following me? Okay, let me. So you need someone to teach you. And this is the amazing thing about it. God has given different people in the body of Christ different things. Are you understand what I'm saying? And again, I show you all this. And there are certain things that people specialize in, and it's my supply. It's my part. Amen. I love all the Word of God. Love teaching on the Word of God. Love from the Word of God. Okay, but I guess y'all probably figured it out by now. Discipleship's my thing. Amen. Getting people born again and helping them grow up into the goodness of God and know who they became the day they became a new creation in Christ Jesus, for the inward realities of the new birth become outward expressions of life. Man, I'm going to tell you, that gets me out of bed in the mornings. Don't be critical of other people who've been given other assignments. Well, you know, all Joel Osteen does is just encourage people. Well, duh. And whoever says that about him, he's never listened to more than maybe half of one of his sermons. He does a lot more than that. But does the body of Christ not need encouraging? How about he told Brother Hagin, go teach my people faith? Just hyper. No, that, did he teach other things? Yes, masterful teacher on a whole bunch of subjects in the Word of God. Faith, though, are you following me? Faith, it's a wheelhouse. It's his assignment. You need someone to teach you. Why? Because God gives people, he puts people in things and then gives those people to you to teach you those things. This is how he set it up. And he gave some to be. Amen. So again, this is how Father set it up. But wait, it doesn't stop there. Because all true discipleship occurs within the context of fellowship. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. This is where we grow in fellowship. Again, interacting with one another. All right. But now, listen, the same verse that says you need someone to teach you also says you ought to be teachers. Let's go back to the verse. I'm showing you how the Holy Spirit will take a passage and just blow it up for you, okay? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, okay? Well, you say, well, after you become a teacher, you don't need someone to teach you. Well, depends on if you want to keep growing or not. I use Matt and Donald. I could talk about all about Bill Winston. There's a lot of people I listen to. These men speak into my life in the bathroom. Are you following me? Things I've learned from Brother Donald on a 5 a.m. Monday morning text message about something the Lord revealed to him while he was here learning from me. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, the Lord could just give it all to me, or he could just give it all to Donald, or just give it all to Matt. That's not how he gives it, though. And there's others. There's a whole bunch of you in here I learned from. Just these are the men that fill in for me when I'm, that's not even right. They take this pulpit when I'm out of town or away or whatever. Are you following what I'm saying? So what are we to understand from, you need someone to teach you, and you ought to be teachers? Growth means a progressive and necessary shift from being served to serving. A baby needs someone to prepare and feed them a meal. A child needs someone to prepare the meal but can put the food in their mouth themselves, right? An adult can prepare and eat a meal but can also serve and feed others. Do you see how the growth in stages? A giant step towards greater maturity is when you move beyond yourself and serve someone else. You will never grow and develop until you take this step. Benefiting from the supply of others while never offering your own will keep you in a perpetual state of childishness. So bottom line, serving others is necessary for spiritual growth and development. So when we say growth requires interacting with other people, we're talking about both being served by other people as well as serving them. Others doing for you and you doing for them. It's not just a one-way thing. Notice he said these individuals ought to be teaching and leading other people. They ought to be involved in some area of leadership within the body of Christ, but they still need someone to teach them, which meant their growth had prevented them from serving others and doing for others. Now, this has been one of them little pithy things the Lord gave me some time ago. I need to say it more often than I do, but here we go, all right? If you wait until you know how to use a fork before using one, you will never use a fork. If you wait till you master the fork before picking one up, you'll just keep eating with your hands the rest of your life. If you wait until you are mature enough spiritually to serve God and others, you will never mature. Because in the same way, you got to pick up the fork and you're going to drop some food on your clothes and in the floor and on the table and whatever. But eventually, if you'll continue to practice with the fork, you'll develop into a masterful fork user. Amen. Then you might come to a stage in life where you try to figure out how to use that fork less. Amen. All right. Boom, boom. If you wait until you are mature enough spiritually. So are you picking up what I'm putting down this morning, right? Meaning serving others, offering your supply. What is your supply? It's not just your money. It's your time. It's your talent. It's your treasure. It's what you have to offer the body of Christ. So, in other words, unless and until you're willing to start doing something to help somebody else, your growth is going to be capped. How far can a young man grow in life if somebody else is always doing something for him that he's capable of doing himself? This comes back to that placing a demand on our potential. I said 9 and we're still on 2. Amen. So praise God. The Bible has more than one thing to say about this, but where it gets most pointed is in Proverbs 18 and 1. He said, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Let me give you two more translations of this passage, and then we'll come back and talk about it, and then we'll pick up at number three next week. How about that? Same passage, amplified. He who willfully separates and estranges himself from God and man seeks his own desire and pretext to break out against all wise and sound judgment. Proverbs 18 and 1. A loner is out to get what he wants for himself. He opposes all sound reasoning. Hallelujah. I can almost hear the thoughts in people's hearts right now. You just don't understand me, Pastor Mark. I was born this way. You just don't understand me, Pastor Mark. Let's go back to where we started. There are people who are more outgoing than other people, naturally, by design. When I tell people this, they'll roll their eyes. You get some folks in here that knew me back then. In middle school, I was scared of my own shadow. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody more bashful and backward and all than me. Are you following me? The thought of getting up in front of people and speaking? People go, yeah, right. I even had Graham Bufford one time told me, because he would see me in the pulpit, and then he would see me like in crowds of people. And one day he just asked me, Graham's kind of forward, and I respect him for it, right? You know, he's like, why don't you take the command of the room when we're in group settings like that, like you do when you're in the pulpit? I'm like, well, you know, it's because I'm still overcoming some things, big guy. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Isolation. It's not from God. The enemy is the one who wants to isolate us. And so we go back to all these different things about somebody being an only child. Well, Vanessa was an only child, so that we can kick that aside, right? She's certainly not bashful or backwards or afraid to be in front of people. Amen. Or maybe you were when you were younger and you overcame it. Okay, yeah, you know. But again, that we could point to these different things, but let's go back to the lived experience. Let's go back to how we thought and how we understood. What happens with a lot of folks is when we're younger, we put ourselves out there and we get rejected and we reel from that experience. There's all kinds of research about when children decide whether or not the world is a safe place or a dangerous place. Psychological research and how that, again, views the way they see the world, which determines how they respond to the world and all that's in it and the people that are in it, right? So the devil is the one who's behind all these different things that are ultimately intended to manipulate us into isolation. What's the songwriter say? Once bitten, twice shy. That's the devil's work, though. Now, I've always, this first part of this verse, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. I could quote that part of the verse to you. But if you really consider it, what the next part of the verse reveals is eye-opening, to say the least. He rages against all wise judgment. Rages against, that's strong words. I guarantee you, I guarantee you the overwhelming majority of people who are prone to isolation never consider what they're doing raging against wise judgment. They just think they're trying to be the best version of themselves or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we justify all this stuff. Come on now. Y'all awake still? Just got to be me, Pastor Mark. Just got to be me. Me and God. Me and God. He who loves God, right? Whom he can't see, demonstrates that by loving his brother who he can see. Amen. Well, I just love people from a distance. No such thing. No such thing. See, all of this is thinking, right? All this is, and don't, listen, never underestimate your ability or my ability to spiritualize our dysfunction and come up with five Bible verses as to why. Well, you know, I just like to hang out in that secret place of the Most High, Pastor Mark. Amen. Yeah, well, amen. And what you learn in that secret place, other people in your family and world need to know, need to hear. Those early morning texts that I get from Brother Donald, it's because he's been in that secret place. But notice first thing he wants to do when the Lord shows him something new. Tell somebody that he knows will receive it and appreciate it. Be blessed by it. Take it and run with it. Are y'all hearing me? See, here's the bottom line. It's a fundamental truth of growth. You can't do it by yourself. It's something that takes place within the context of fellowship. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with other people. And those two aren't mutually exclusive. It's not like, I'm going to fellowship with God for a little while. Now I'm going to fellowship with people for a little while. Now I'm going to fellowship. No, it's, we're all one body. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Praise God. And I thought I would get to nine of these. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at me for a minute. I cannot fulfill my purpose on this planet assigned to me by my Heavenly Father before I was formed in my mother's womb without you. I can't do it without you. Don't want to do it without you, but here's the thing. I can't do it without you. That's what he says in Romans 12:3. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He didn't say think poorly of yourself. He said think highly of yourself, just not more highly than you ought to. What does it mean to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think? It's to think you can do what God put you on this earth to do without other people. Brother Hiawatha Sheffield really drove this home to me. Many of you know he was a counselor at the Foundry for many years and part of this church for many years. He's with Jesus now. He told me, he said, I never sit in front of another person that I don't think this person has something that I can learn. I can learn something from this person. Any counselee that he ever had at the Foundry, he said, you know, I've got things that's going to help this person, but this person has things that can help. That was his attitude towards everybody. You're talking about teachable. That's teachable. This book is a result of things that I learned from men and women humble enough and courageous enough to commit themselves to a residential recovery program at the Foundry and other Foundry primarily. And my privilege of interacting with them for over 20 years, listening to them asking me questions that at the moment I didn't have an answer for, but I said, let me go take this before the Lord in the Word and I'll get back with you. Are you following what I'm saying? People are shocked to find out. Some of you ladies may not know this, okay, but I don't even know what beer tastes like, okay? I've never been addicted. People, how do you know so much about it? If you've never been addicted. And then there are some people who say, well, I ain't going to listen to nothing that man has to say. He don't know what it's like to be me. Well, it's like, you know, I got some answers from the Lord. That's where I got them from. Amen. He gave them to me. And now I want to give them to you. Are you seeing the difference here? But I didn't just get them from him. I got them interacting, fellowshipping with the Lord, interacting, fellowshipping with men and women who fighting that fight, winning that victory. I'm trying to help you see how this works. Oh, Father, we love you so much this morning. You have demonstrated your love for us. Father, may we demonstrate our love for you. And Lord, one of the key ways you said that we demonstrate it is by loving those who have been born of you, who've been begotten of you. In other words, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But also, Father, extending that love to those who don't know you. That requires interacting with other people, Lord. Father, we want to grow. We don't want to remain as we are. We are thankful for how far you've brought us, but there is still so much more that you have for us to lay hold of. So much more for you that you have for us to experience and help others experience. We need to grow up into those things, Lord. Help us understand what real growth is and how it works and things that we can do to cooperate, things that we need to stop doing that are hindering, undermining your efforts, Lord, in our lives. Father, thank you for your patience. Lord, thank you for your willingness to persevere with us, suffer long with us. But Father, I believe that some people, Lord, just in their hearts right now, Father, it's just like, you know what, enough's enough. Enough of this childishness. It's time to get serious about growing in the things of God. And Lord, growth brings fruit. And fruit glorifies you. You've got so much fruit you're wanting to produce and bear through our lives. And yet, Father, our tree is so young and tender, it just can't support the growth and the fruit, Lord, that you want us to produce. And so, Lord, here we are, asking you for help, for wisdom, for revealing yourself to us so that we can reveal you to the world, demonstrating yourself to us so we can demonstrate you to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. I hope you got something out of this morning. Know that you love. Know that Jesus is Lord. Shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, love somebody in Jesus. We'll see you.